civilian than anybody else.
Thank you. Hi, good morning, Mayor Potter. Nice to see you here. Always good to see you. You're looking well. And Commissioner Saltzman, Commissioner Sam Adams, and Commissioner Randy Leonard. Of course, I don't know why I was laughing when I looked at Sam, but you know, Sam's always up to something that we have to address this issue to. Anyway, okay, good.
Did you stop that?
Sure.
Clearly you're not involved.
A little bit of comic relief. Okay, good. Along the lifespan here in Portland, it's a city that works, according to, of course, Mayor Potter, and he's added the word safely, and I think that's key to this issue. Safely is the way bikers want to go. I'm a former member of the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, and we always try to affirm that safety issue. At Portland State, in public health, we've been advocates of helmets. Now, city council here has not come to the point where you need to wear a helmet to survive the city council meeting.
We may shortly, however.
Anyway, Major Tom hasn't made it a rule yet, but seriously, folks, there needs to be something done to help out the bicycle pedalists here, because I'm a witness to several myself. Incidents where bicycle pedalists bit the dust, so to speak, and I don't want to see that happen to anybody, and I think the resolution here is anybody's guess, but I do support the bicycle pedalists along lifespan. I think the green idea is important. Commissioner Saltzman has really, really worked hard to support the green concept in this city, so that's very important. But I am not a judge to tell you exactly what to do. I just think we need to support the people here who are on bicycles, and that means creating lanes and spaces for them to move about effectively. So, and thanks a lot. And you know, I just wanted to put in a plug for the Almighty up there. You know, God's shining on our city. He's helping us move through the daily business every day of the week. And we know that people pray for our city. I just wanted to give him a few kudos. You know, as long as people keep praying, the city works well safely. Thank you.
Thanks, folks. Is that it?
So before we move on, I'd just like to, since we have some folks here, say a couple things, notwithstanding my earlier constraint on my time. But I think it's important. I was struck today driving in listening to OPB and the wonderful news story that was celebrating Portland being designated yesterday a platinum city in terms of bicycle safety. And frankly, it made me a little sad. It made me sad because it struck me that today should be a day that we should be celebrating taking another step forward, making Portland a safe place for not just a bicyclist or pedestrian, but really making a statement about alternative transportation. I just filled up my vehicle and I paid $4.50 a gallon, folks, for fuel. I feel fortunate that I can afford to do that. There are a number of people who cannot afford to do that anymore, who now will not bicycle because it's cool or bicycle because it's the vogue thing to do or they're in Portland. They can't afford to get around any other way but to bicycle. And for those who can't afford to buy a bicycle, they'll do a lot more walking than what they've been doing. I have viewed this project from the first day that it was presented to me in that context as not an East Portland versus West Portland or a all Portland versus the Pearl, which unfortunately it seems to have morphed itself into, but rather a piece of a complicated, complex infrastructure that will create byways and throughways that are safe for pedestrians and bicyclists in Portland. And I don't use this card very often, but nobody can out East Portland me here on this council. I was born and raised in East Portland. I've grown up in Portland my whole life living on the east side. I represented east of 72nd to the Gresham City border from the Columbia River to the Clackamas County line in the Oregon State Senate in the Oregon House for almost 10 years. Nobody, I don't believe, has gone door to door in Lentz on this council, knocking on doors, seeking votes, other than myself. I have done that. I know what the problems are in transportation in East Portland. But I'm also labored with knowing the facts. I appreciate the good people from Southwest coming in and arguing, why can't we use the money for sidewalks? Well, the honest answer is, the reason you can't use it for sidewalks, I would point you to today's agenda, item 517. Some of your neighbors in Southwest decided they wanted sidewalks and streets. They got together, formed a local improvement district, assessed themselves, to pay for their own sidewalks. How do I explain to them, and in fact all the other neighbors in Portland who have sidewalks, why they had to assess themselves to build their sidewalks, but we gave you $5.5 million to build yours? How is that fair? Well, it's not only not fair, it's not how the process works. And those of us up here know that. I appreciate the fact that you may not know that. So instead of having this issue framed correctly and by the facts, and some may accuse me of being cynical for saying this, but I suspect that it's more about politics that we're having this division and not about creating a good transportation system for bicyclists. It's easy. I've been in one elective office or another, either as a president of the firefighters, a state representative or state senator, or now a member of the council for over 25 years. I learned a long time ago that it is really easy to galvanize a group of people by speaking to their fears, speaking to their suspicions, and going to the lowest common denominator, rather than sometimes saying things that are not popular, that they don't want to hear, that in fact may cost them some money. It's a much easier strategy to bring people together. It also is, in my view, not responsible. And what I have viewed this debate as is in that context, that those of us up here that know better choose to have the issue displayed in ways that divide the community rather than unite it because of politics. It's not fair. It's not right. It isn't the responsible thing to do, and I'm deeply, deeply disappointed that we do allow a debate that should be a unifier in this community about keeping a historic infrastructure intact and reusing it as part of an entire complex system versus dividing East Portland and Southwest Portland from the Pearl in order to make political points. It's not fair, and it's not right, and we all deserve better.
I guess I have a question or two, and I know it's late and I don't need the answers now, but I was interested in the testimony of Mr. Lee about what kind of a warranty we have from CUNY Construction as to the bridge we're buying from them to actually be structurally sound, including seismic conditions.
We can quickly answer it if you would allow us. David?
Mayor Parr, City Council, this is David Olungi from the City of Portland Office of Transportation. I have answers to those questions. We have reviewed the latest inspection reports from the bridge carried out less than 12 months ago, and there were no structural flaws found whatsoever in the center span of the bridge. The only flaw noted was rust, which we will fix when we get to T2. I'm not going to say the bridge is in perfect condition, but it's in very good condition.
Does that include seismic?
Seismic issue has also been addressed. The bridge is a multi-span bridge right now. There are many spans to the Sauby Island Bridge. Okay. And it's very tall because it has to have 70 foot or more clearance above the water. Therein lies the inherent seismic issue with the existing Sauby Island Bridge, the fact that it's so high above the water and above the ground. The new location of the bridge will have the bridge right in the ground. And we will be attaching the existing bridge to the foundations to resist current seismic loads in accordance with ASHTO. So that will be taken care of.
So... Okay, that sounds good on the seismic, but you mentioned inspection. Does that constitute a warranty by CUNY Construction?
No, I wouldn't say that constitutes a warranty, but we have reviewed the inspection reports and we've reviewed the bridge, and the bridge is in excellent condition. Okay. We expect it to be delivered in the same condition.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a warranty to that?
I'll look into it.
On a new
for
bridge.
Next week. Give me that information.
Okay.
While you're here, the one very quickly because we've got time constraints. The phase two, which will be bid out to the lowest bidder. I just want to clarify and have you double clarify that includes the pilings on either side of the bridge, the foundation of which it will set on, flagging and traffic lights. Very basic stuff.
Absolutely.
Not high risk like the tram. Not unique. We bid out these kinds of projects day in and day out all over the city successfully on time, on budget.
Absolutely. And I vetted the numbers that we come up with other engineering firms in town who, and CUNY Construction themselves, who agree that the numbers are in the right place.
Thanks. If you want to move on, I just want to say one thing.
Go ahead.
I want to just, before we move on to the next item, and I maybe now is the time to move on to the next item, is as Transportation Commissioner, I'm trying to instill a more disciplined approach to dealing with safety issues around the city. We studied to find out where the most dangerous corridors are in the city, and we have prioritized new investments to address those dangerous corridors. It is different tools. There are different changes that need to be made in each of the corridors, but all of the investments are intended to make it safer. When they get safer, we can move down the list. But we haven't had this sort of thoughtful, fact-based, methodical approach to fixing safety issues and moving down the list. We will always have a list, and we'll always be working on it, and we will get to other parts of town. When I fought, when Southwest asked for, what do you want out of the tram, and you said you want to be connected to the river, you want safe passage to the river over I-5, I fought for $11 million for your pedestrian and bike overpass, which is in the process of being designed. When East Portland wanted to have a connection to downtown, I fought for and received funding for 3 bridges on the Springwater Trail. You could draw a circle around any of those projects while they're in play and play it off the fact that it's in Southeast or Southwest or now Northwest and alarm the rest of the town that they're not getting their fair share. We're building a system, and we remain committed to doing that in a methodical way. Thank you.
It's not an emergency. It moves to a second reading. Please read item 544.
Pay claim of Lorinda Kirkland.
Is this yours? You want to move to yours?
We have this one. 3.
Hello, my name is Becky Chow from Risk Management. This is a claim for property damage and bodily injury resulting from a vehicle accident between an on-call police officer and Ms. Kirkland. The police officer failed to provide enough stopping distance and rear-ended Ms. Kirkland's minivan, so the liability is clear. Because this is over $5,000, we need your approval to reimburse State Farm Insurance for $12,000.
We're going to have to move on because... we don't have that.
Thank you for the testimony. Welcome.
He's here.
He's here. Okay.
There we go.
Now we can vote.
Was anybody signed to testify on this matter?
No.
Okay. Please call a vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Salzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 545.
Authorize a contract and provide for payment for the Portland Fire and Rescue Station 1 seismic upgrade and facility remodel project.
Hi. My name is Connie Johnson. I'm a project manager with OMF Facilities and the project manager for the Portland Fire and Rescue Station 1 seismic upgrade and facility remodel project. Just a little bit of background. Station 1 is a 54,000 square foot facility located at 55 Southwest Ash and was built in the early 50s. It currently houses 4 specialty rescue companies and the Fire Bureau's administrative functions. This project is part of a general obligation bond program passed by the citizens of Portland in 1998 to improve city emergency facilities. At the end of the program, about 30 stations will have either been remodeled or rebuilt. A station advisory committee made up of interested individuals from several neighborhood organizations, such as Old Town, Chinatown neighborhood organizations, and the Visions Committee, participated in the design process of this project. The main purpose of the project is to seismically upgrade the structure of Station 1 to essential facility status. We are also providing ADA upgrades and will make improvements that address gender issues and improve space use efficiency. The footprint of the building does not change, nor does the exterior appearance significantly change. Other project goals include upgrading the mechanical system and replacing the windows to improve the building's energy efficiency, providing increased visual transparency into the facility by restoring the apparatus bay doors to close to their original appearance, replacing the racquetball court on the first floor with a multi-purpose room, and infilling at the second floor to provide more usable floor space, increasing the use of daylight and upgrading lighting for better efficiency, and all upgraded finishes were chosen based on their sustainable attributes. Administration moved mid-month into temporary space, subleased from the Revenue Bureau at 111 Southwest Columbia. Emergency operations will temporarily be relocated into Station 7 and 23s closer to the beginning of construction, which is scheduled for early July. Construction should take approximately a year, and we expect a bid opening in mid-May. We have a third-party cost estimate that confirms our construction budget of $9.5 million.
Will this be a green building consistent with the city's green building policy in terms of meeting LEED gold?
It won't be a LEED building, but we have been following the G-rated TI guide because it was the project was funded, you know, prior to the city's green building policy. We didn't have the money to go for LEED, but we've been doing everything we can afford to do to make it the greenest and most sustainable remodel.
How much money is it for LEED Gold certification of this project, would you guess? I mean.
Well, basically people have been using like between 2 and 4% of the construction cost. A great deal of our construction budget is going into the structural work, the seismic work. So
2 to 4% of
9.5
would get us to LEED Gold?
I don't know that for sure. We didn't really approach it that way because we knew we were going to do everything we could afford to pay for.
And then how much money remains in the bond fund, assuming there's cost overruns?
Well, we are at the end. Yeah, we are at the end of the bond fund. We have one more station that's going to be rebuilt and at least one that is probably going to be upgraded. And we're really scrambling because of the inflation that has occurred since, you know, 98 when these project budgets were set up. We've really been scrambling to, you know, get the main goals of the bond accomplished, which were the seismic upgrades, the gender and ADA upgrades, those things.
So if there are cost overruns, will they be covered by the bond fund?
We're not going to have cost overruns. We what we've done is we've set up a list of 11 deductive alternates. So when the bids come in, we'll start chipping away at those alternates to meet our budget.
Okay, so 9.5
is 9.5. 9.5
is
9.5.
There'll be no contract amendments.
Boy, I hope not. I mean, I don't know where the money would come from.
I don't think that's fair to ask of you to answer here. I mean, certainly that's the intent, but I don't think it's fair to put her on the spot here to say that there won't be any.
Well, I should say no contract amendments that would affect the cost, I guess.
Right now, from the beginning of this project, we have been working with the 9.5 is that's all we have for construction. And that's why we put together the deductive alternate list to get down to that point. Now, crazy things.
You have 11 bid alternates is what you're saying.
Yes, we do.
That deduct from the cost.
Right.
So if the bid comes in higher than 9.5,
we start taking those out.
And those 11 alternates get you down how far? If you had to go through all 11, eliminate all 11 bid options.
Probably about $1.5 million.
$1.5 million.
Yeah.
Can you provide me with those bid alternates between now and next week?
Yes, I can. I definitely can. Anything else?
Well, I guess I would, you know, while we're at it, I just think that I would like to see some information on attaining a LEED Gold certification for this project.
It would be, because the project is, getting ready to bid right now, we have been keeping track of the things we've been doing. In terms of the exact cost of going for LEED certification, we would have to go back into design to do that, to make sure that we were meeting all those particular, you know, that we would have enough points to achieve LEED Gold. It's hard to put. I could definitely ask, I could ask the architect what they would charge, but I think we would be looking at redesign at this point to do that.
If you could just get back to me on that. I accept your point if that, in fact, is the situation we're in.
And we can definitely give you a list of all the sustainable things that we have done.
Okay.
So we have that.
Are we going to be using rainwater for flushing toilets or anything like that?
No. Mm-hmm. No. That is one of those things that's really expensive. And we've put all of the money into the structure and the tenant improvements, basically. So.
Well, yeah, if you could give me some information on those two points.
I'll be happy
What are the 11 deductions? And then what would it take to get the LEED Gold? And I would accept it maybe too late at this point.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions? Thank you.
Is
there anybody signed up to testify?
Mm-hmm. Veronica did sign up.
Yeah, I did earlier. I didn't know I'd be speaking twice, but it's still the same group, so that's good. That's a good sign. It's always good to address city council, and I'm going to make this short and sweet. I do support the Engine 4, or is it Engine 1 remodel of 9.5. I think the figure is a little high, and the reason I say that is because in other cities, remodels have been done a little bit lower. They usually come in around 5 or 6 million. 9 is big. You're talking about giving them a racquetball court. Okay, this isn't nickel and diming it. But really, we've got to get per dime and nickel that amount of service. And that's really important. And if we call on Engine 1, we expect responders to come. There's two incidences that I have on record that have been documented through Portland State where bicycle pedalists did not receive adequate attention from police, fire, and EMS. And I'm saying it was because of ground-level interference somewhere between the phones and Engine 1. Now, I'm not saying Engine 1 is at fault. If they get the call, they can act. But between 2nd and Burnside, where the bicycle pedalists come across there, and Engine 1, therein lies the plot. And it just points to the need for re-looking at that station in terms of why aren't they getting the signal from the 911? What is interfering with the telephone system from Q West or any other system that takes over there? Why don't they get the 911 call? And as this relates to that, 9.5 million and you don't receive the call, we have to do better. These are people's lives. And we're not holding you responsible. I'm saying it's a telecommunications problem at this point. But they once they get the call, they can respond. So let's look at retroactive accounting for the station and what has been your response time in the past to every 9/11 call within the last 2 years at least. So I'm calling for a secondary accounting and some secondary looks. Thank you.
No one else has signed to testify?
That was all.
Okay. It's not an emergency and moves to a second reading. Please read item 546.
Accept bid of Collins Mechanical, Inc. for the computer room mechanical and electrical upgrade, the Portland Building Project, for $842,508.
Mayor Potter, members of City Council, Christine Woody, Bureau of Purchases. Before you is a purchasing agent report recommending an award on bid number 108429 for the computer room mechanical and electrical upgrade for the Portland building to Collins Mechanical in the amount of $842,508. Office of Management and Finance, Business Operations and Facilities, along with purchases, identified 6 divisions of work for potential MWSB participation. And participation for this project represents 96.9% of the identified subcontracting dollars. Collins Mechanical is an Oregon State Certified Emerging Small Business.
Questions? Thank you. Is there anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
No one has signed up.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify to this matter? Thank you. This is a report. I need a motion to accept and a second.
So moved.
Second.
Call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Salzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
Mayor Potter, I wonder if we could move up the two emergency ordinances so we can consider those and I could
please read item 549.
Authorize a temporary day laborer center site improvement for VAWS Workers' Rights Education Project.
Mayor Potter, members of the council, this action that we take today requires, in order to permit and place the day laborer site, waiving certain provisions of the zoning code and waiving the stormwater manual in order for it to be able to be constructed. I have never brought before the council such a waiver before, but I believe in the project that Mayor Potter has led, and I think that for those reasons that he, I'm sure, will articulate, this more than justifies taking this unusual step today. I would be remiss if I didn't point out that we have Andy Peterson here and Mark Walhood here who have moved heaven and earth. For those of you who are familiar with Portland's neighborhoods and zoning requirements and our requirements under the stormwater manual, to simply waive those kinds of requirements is a feat that we should not underestimate. And so because of the unanimity with which the council has approached this project, I have felt that it be appropriate to do, and I am very grateful to Andy and Mark for their outstanding work. And they're here to answer questions if anybody has.
Questions from the commissioners?
I guess just on the waiver from design review, has Central East Side Industrial Council or any neighborhoods been
no
talked to about this?
No.
Should they be?
Well, that's, I mean,
they may have been talked to about the design, but I don't know the specifics in terms of.
They weren't, I mean, there's normally.
Sorry about that.
There's the answer.
There's normally an extensive public process, as you know, for those kinds of considerations, and those have been waived.
Anybody want to respond to that from the staff?
Mark Wallet, Bureau of Development Services. In a nutshell, the way we were looking at this use was as a temporary use. The structures are a temporary portable office trailer, temporary portable restrooms, and some other temporary structure, pole barn or tent type structure. And I think the idea behind the lease between PDC and VAWS for this site is that it is an initial and temporary use that will either be replaced with a permanent development or go elsewhere. So that was kind of the thinking behind the waiver, is that
The waiver only applies to the temporary structures. If there is a permanent use, this waiver will not apply.
Right.
It will be subject to design review. Is that?
The waiver identifies that a future building or relocation would go through the regular design review.
It is. That's in here?
Yes.
Okay.
But we don't typically grant these kinds of temporary permits.
No. Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, folks. Was there anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
No. Excuse me. Two people we had, Sean Cruz and Martha Perez. Are you still here?
Yes. Thanks for being here, folks. Because of the lateness of the hour, I ask you to keep your remarks to 2 minutes or less. Please state your name when you speak.
Let me go first.
Thank you. I'm Sean Cruz, a resident of Park Rose neighborhood, out even further than the Cully neighborhood. And I just wanted to thank the mayor and the city council for your leadership and your courage in taking this issue on. I am the son and grandson of Mexican farm workers, a Chicano from Northern California. I share the same ancestry as our great Mexican-American Chicano hero, Cesar Chavez. But I just wanted to speak here and just thank you for taking this on. I know it's a lonely road, and you've taken a lot of flack from it, but it's it just speaks to where your heart is, and I just thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Martha Perez, and I'm in support of this program and have provided public testimony on the day laborer center, and I really don't see any differences between the need for this day laborer center or the day center for the homeless. One group of people needs this, has the same similar needs as others, so thank you for your time.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. No further testimony. Please call the vote.
Adams.
Good work.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Thank Commissioner Leonard for taking this task on. I really appreciate that. I know it'll be much appreciated by the community as well. Aye. Please read item 550.
Authorized payment of $10,000 to Hillside Soccer Club for field improvements at Chapman School.
Commissioner Salzman.
I believe this is us granting some money to a friends group to facilitate the or to support soccer at the Hillside Center.
Any questions, commissioners?
Sorry, Chapman Elementary.
Is there anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet out for this one.
It's emergency call vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Salzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Returning to item 547.
Authorize application to the Oregon Department of Transportation Transportation Enhancement Program for a grant of up to $1 million for phase two of the Northwest Flanders Bike Boulevard Sobey Island Bridge Relocation Project.
Commissioner Adams?
That's what we've already talked about.
Okay, it's been discussed. Any questions? Is anyone who signed up to testify on this matter?
No.
Okay, it's a non-emergency and moves to a second reading. Please read item 548.
Authorize application to the Oregon Department of Transportation for a grant financed by state lottery funds to provide for the purchase of streetcars used in public transit systems.
Commissioner Adams.
Vicki.
For the record, I'm Vicki Deedy with the Office of Transportation, and I'm the city's project manager for Portland Streetcar. The item before you today is really, it's a pro forma requirement that we seek formal authorization to make application to ODOT. And this is for the $20 million in state lottery bonds that they have granted. And that should we be receive the grant, we'll do a procurement process for the manufacturer, and the cars will be used for the Portland Streetcar Loop project. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions, commissioners. Is anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
Yes, we have one, Sharon Nassett.
Okay, Sharon.
Hello, my name is Sharon Nassett. My address is 1113 North Baldwin, and I'm walking a little slow today. I want to thank Metro did a cleanup this weekend with all of the dumpsters out in North Portland, and I got to admit, I'm not used to standing on concrete all day anymore. The money set aside in our lottery, I myself am not much of a gambler, so I forget to buy the tickets, but was for putting forth the economy and spending on our economy and our economy dollars within the entire state. And our economy is trade and transportation. And our forefathers or early investors did a lot for us in putting in a good infrastructure for roads, bridges, and rails, and getting us really going, and we need to be investing in that. The streetcar is a nice concept, but we need buses right now. I'm sure you know that TriMet has put off buying buses, I think it is 5 years in a row. And I think a large percentage of our buses don't have air conditioning. And as you are aware, we don't have a 24-hour bus system. Streets are busy at 1 o'clock in the afternoon because people that went to work at 5 in the morning have no way to get there because there's no bus system. There's nothing at night for swing shift. There's nothing at night for graveyard. And I think only about 20 or 25% of our bus stops have benches or covers. I really would like to see us put forth the belief that our buses are our working horse. They are our needed infrastructure. When a house fire happens, the Red Cross brings the buses over and puts people in those buses. They do all kinds of things. I understand that we need money for all kinds of transportation issues, but if we are going to be applying to ODOT for Department of Transportation, beg your pardon, for money or the money needed for anything, that it would be to fill the backlog of buses that we need, get them up to a standard of air conditioning for our summers, and move towards a 24-hour bus system, which we originally had in the 70s.
I think those are worthy goals. Just a clarification, this particular resource will allow us to purchase, hopefully, have the opportunity to purchase, or at least one option to purchase, locally made streetcars, which would be the first modern locally made streetcars in the United States, hopefully being built here in the Portland area. So it's very consistent with the original mission of the lottery, and that is to create jobs.
I appreciate that. Actually, I had commented before that our light rail and our streetcars bus things were all purchased mostly overseas, not even within the United States. And at that time, I think it was 8 or 10 years ago, there was only one place in the U.S. that even made them. And so moving in that direction, and especially manufacturing, is really a good direction. But I do hope that you continue to look at the people that are using our bus system. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is a non-emergency and moves to a second reading. Please read out.
One more.
What?
There's one more we got to do. I didn't mean to interrupt. There's
one more.
Second reading of 551.
Yes, I was just getting to that.
Okay.
I
just
want to make sure. Oh, yes. I was ready.
Must be important to somebody.
I was getting ready to go.
It is. Okay. Please call 551 to second reading.
Designate two heritage trees in the city.
Where
Adams?
Are they? Where are they?
I think they're both in North Portland, actually.
They better
Northeast
be.
Northeast and North. So.
They better be.
Good, yeah.
North doesn't have enough heritage trees right. Designated commissioners.
North Oberlin Street.
Did you finish reading it?
I did.
Okay, good.
Aye.
It's a second reading call of vote.
Sorry,
got aye.
Aye.
Leonard Salzman.
Just want to thank our Urban Forestry Commission for doing this great work. Aye.
Honored.
Aye. Recessed until 2 p.m.
Do you know how long that's going to go? Looks like it might go long. Is this what the
is
news commercial recycling today?
Yeah.
So is it
also, I noticed there's a Rose Festival permit and something else on there, too.
Do you think it's a couple hours?
I don't really think we're going to have a lot of people.
Okay.
Testimony.
All right.
No invited panels. We leave it up to the mob to decide.
Hi, Randy.
Hi.
How are you? Sure.
I brought my lunch today. You betcha.
Yeah. I don't have counsel this afternoon, but I've been working on
it. Well, it's cold.
I don't suppose
in
anybody
here.
Will want to hold it against me if I don't stick around for the Rose Festival stuff.
I think you can safely slip out.
I think the attention will be focused elsewhere than.
It's surprising the recycling doesn't have a
PowerPoint.
No? I bet they'll come up with one before.
Yeah. Why don't we see?
Yeah.
Already gone way past where I am.